What's up, everybody? How is the beautiful audience doing today? I hope you guys are off to a great start this week. Thank you so much for everybody listening to the podcast, leaving reviews, giving me feedback, all these beautiful things. Thank you guys so much for that. Really quick note I want to mention. While we were recording this podcast, I guess the mic wasn't properly adjusted. I don't know what happened. So you're going to hear my quality, like my side of the me speaking, really bad, like not so good. So I apologize for that. To my guest, I apologize. And in this episode, my guest is Jordan Comstock, the owner of Boom Cloud. And he also has his own podcast, The Navigating Dental Insurance, as well. And yeah, in this episode, guys, we talk about so much. From the point, let me look at my notes really quick. So, excuse me, I'm sorry about that, guys. I don't know why I've been coughing. I think it's because, like, we have the air on here at the studio, and I'm here a lot. Lately, I've been here a lot, working. Like, I have my head down working, literally, because, I don't know, I just said literally, but I have my head down working nonstop. Two reasons. One reason is because I have to recreate some content because my hard drive, like you guys know, if you're following me on Instagram, by the way, my Instagram name is The Dental Marketer. If you're following me on Instagram, you'll know my hard drive completely crashed out of nowhere, I guess because all the traveling, and it's not, the external drive wasn't meant to be thrown around and everything like that. I don't know. So all the content on there kind of got erased, or I don't know what happened, but it just, they can't get it back. So I have to recreate that content. And on top of that, the first ever ground marketing course will be coming out this month, guys. Whoo! Said it on this episode. But I'm so excited to show it to you guys. And anyway, so that's the back to that. I've been in the lab working my butt off. And because of that, I guess like the air conditioning is like pushed to my face. Only because, look, guys, like I have the studio where I record the podcast, and then I have it, and then I have the office, right? Now, the office has air conditioning and everything, but the studio where I record the podcast, you have to turn off all the fans and everything so you won't really hear it, you know, all that white noise, like on the microphone. So the microphone won't pick it up. So anyways, guys, because of that, I guess like the air has been like messing with my throat. It's been like, I bet sometimes stand right directly in front of the air conditioner for like 10 minutes. And sometimes I step out and step in. I don't know. I'm guessing that's why like my throat feels like some days I lose my voice, some days I don't. And then like right now, it only bothers. Does that happen to you guys? Does it bother? Does your throat, like, it's weird how like sometimes the whole day you can go fantastic, and then at night, around a certain time, your throat starts to bother you, and then you start getting cough attacks, and you're like, what the heck, where were you in the daytime? Like, I'd rather have this in the daytime than at night when I'm trying to sleep. But anyways, let me know if that happens to you guys. But as you know, I'm recording this at nighttime, so the intro and outro. So guys, in this episode, let me get back to it. Sorry about that, totally went off. I have my wonderful guest, Jordan Comstock, owner of Boom Cloud, and he has his own podcast, like I said. And we talk about Boom Cloud. What is it, and how is it going to help you? And how is it, like, I see it more futuristic. Only because I like what he says here. And he puts it, let me see. He puts it in a way very, very fantastic. So, because technically, like, if you think about it, what's a guaranteed recurring revenue, like what's a guaranteed way that you know you're gonna get recurring revenue, right? Membership programs. That's a pretty much guaranteed way. For example, say I own a barbershop business, and in my barbershop business, the hairstylists and the barbers, they have to work, right, for their customers. They got to make sure the customers come back and everything. But the customers have lives too. Like, what if they're on vacation? What if they don't get a haircut that week or that month even, or whatever, right? What if they live lives. They live busy lives too. But if I were to say, you know, let me install a membership program where they have to pay a yearly amount or a monthly amount, and they can get unlimited amounts of haircuts or once a week or whatever, right? So that's excuse me, that's a pretty much guaranteed way that I know I'm going to continue to get revenue, and I can build upon that as well, right? Continue to foresee the vision, foresee the future, create a bigger vision and things like that. So we talk about that, and that's what BoomCloud does for your practice with insurances. Especially if you're fee for service. Jordan is someone who really doesn't like insurance. So if you're someone who doesn't like insurance, Delta, MetLife and all that, you don't like the fees and all these things, you're really, really going to love this episode. And we also talk about how Jordan came into dentistry. Really interesting. He didn't just, you know, like, hey, I guess I'm going to do this. No, he grew up into it, which is really fantastic. You'll see why. Like I said, he is a big fan of recurring revenue because it's predictable, right? And there's a reason why he's a big fan, and it's part of his getting into dentistry, becoming into dentistry. So you're going to hear about that too. I also like how he mentions what pushes him to buy from a consumer standpoint. Now, if you guys know this episode, right, like these series where I interview our guests, you'll know that I ask them specific questions like, well, you know, what do you like about dentistry? What do you hate and things like that? And so you're going to hear from a consumer standpoint, right? And it's really, really interesting what he says, especially because him and I and other people, right, marketers and consultants and coaches or whatever, we are not so much, we're not a dentist, but we're delved into dentistry completely, right? Helping out dentists all over the world. So it's really interesting to see from a consumer standpoint what pushes people to buy, like what type of marketing works for them. And that's what we explain in this episode as well. So guys, yeah, without further delay, here is Jordan Comstock.
Yeah, so I started out in the dental industry in the dental lab side of things. I managed my dad and grandpa's dental lab for it's been around since 1906, but I obviously didn't manage it for that long. I managed the dental lab for about 7 to 8 years, but that's really got me into dentistry. I grew up in dentistry. My mom is an office manager. My dad, obviously, you know, owns the dental lab. So dentistry has always been a part of my life. And I never wanted to get in the industry, you know, and I kind of just fell into it because my family was, and you know, it just was easy to get a job at the dental lab, to be honest. Yeah. So that's how I got into it. And yeah, I managed the lab for 7 to 8 years, and it was fun and stressful at the same time. And as I was there at the dental lab, I went and I studied just like anyone else in their, you know, early 20s back then. I studied marketing and UX UI design, which is software design, is for mm-hmm. simplicity's sake. Because I love technology. I built the lab's website. I was building some internal apps for the lab as well. But I always was fascinated with technology. And as I was working the lab, I was going out talking to practices. And basically, everyone told me, you know, the stresses of dental insurance. Including my mom, right? We'd go home each day and she would have a rough day because she had to deal with, you know, insurance companies. Mm-hmm. And I also felt, you know, the problem that I felt when I was at the lab is a lot of the times these PPOs would force the practices to discount their fees, and then it basically would trickle down on the lab side, right? Mm-hmm. Messing everybody's cash flow up. It was so fun. And basically what got me started to now with BoomCloud is that everyone would talk to us and vent to us about, you know, how bad insurance was. And I just asked myself, I told myself there's got to be a better way. And basically one day I went into a practice and I saw that they have had a membership program. And I was extremely curious about what they do, and realized that at that time, they didn't have a software to help them manage it. So that's kind of what got me started today in creating Boom Cloud and the membership software for dental practices.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if we rewind, we rewind quite a lot. Okay. So
yeah.
You didn't want to get into the field. So no. What did you want to do?
So I'm a musician. I love writing songs. I'm big in the music scene here in Utah. And I wanted to do something with music.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work out at the time, right? And I think around 2008, when the economy is horrible, I needed a job, right? 2008 or 2007, 2008, I needed a job. I needed to, you know, support myself. And that's kind of how I got rolled up into the dental industry, because my dad, you know, said, come join the lab. You know, you can one day, you know, potentially own this business. And I've always wanted to own a business, right? Whether it be something in the music industry or in dentistry. So that's kind of my background. And I did not want to go into the dental industry.
Dang, man, you sold out. You could have been something
I sold out.
I still
go to the recording studio every month, so I still have a lot of fun.
What do you play? So,
I don't really – so I have a twin brother – who's also in the dental industry. He manages the dental lab now.
Uh-huh.
And he does music as well, and we just we mainly do studio sessions. We don't do live stuff anymore.
But what do you play? Like, what instruments?
Oh, what do I play? I think I said, where do I play? I play the guitar and the bass, and then I do vocals. So, yeah. And it's rock. I like rock.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you, like, what kind of
yeah, like good rock and roll. So
like growing up, who was your inspiration?
In music or in business? Because I'd like both.
I liked
all classic rock. So anything from like AC/DC to Van Halen, and then I like some alternative rock like Collective Soul, which I was able to jam with them. It was really cool.
Wow.
So yeah, I those were my inspirations there on the music side. Yeah.
Do you ever plan to kind of like go back into that, or
I do, yeah.
Full time or no?
I don't know if I'll go full time, because I'm so picky about business models. I really hate the music industry's business model.
Oh, yeah.
So I love music, but I hate the business model. I think there's some things need to be changed in that industry, but that's a whole different story and a whole different topic.
We'll talk about it one day. Yeah.
Totally.
So then the dental lab, where it's now, it's still happening right now or no?
Yeah, the dental lab is still around. It's been around since 1906.
Okay, so why didn't you feel like sticking with that?
Again, I'm really picky about business models. And the lab business model is a feast and famine model, which means, you know, one month you're doing well, the next month you're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows the trends of just restorative care dentistry. I'm sure a lot of dentists, you know, will know exactly what I'm talking about, but I didn't like it. It was up and down, you know, and basically one quarter we just had a really rough quarter, and we couldn't make ends meet at the dental lab.
Oh,
so it was very hard. And my dad, I remember the call. He's like, hey, I can't pay anybody. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Cash flow is crazy. And I'm like, oh boy, what I get myself into.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to let Dave go. He was our denture technician. He's an older guy. And I'm like, you know what? Dave's older. Let him stay there. I'll leave. I got Boom Cloud on the side that I was working on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I could figure it out for a year. This is a year or a year and a half before we launched Boom Cloud. I'm like, I'll figure it out, you know, and make it work. And, you know, I was able to do that, but it was probably the hardest year of my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I didn't stay because of the business model. I did not like it one bit. And things need to be changed. And And I think they're doing well now at the lab, but at the time it was just, it was such a struggle.
How old is a boom cloud right now?
I started boom cloud in 2013.
Okay. Yeah. So like in a nutshell, if you can explain to us, almost like an elevator pitch, what is boom cloud?
Yeah. So boom cloud is we're a software company and we solely focus on helping dentists create and automate an in-house membership program as an alternative to dental insurance, and for a loyalty program, right? Mm-hmm. So basically the concept is a practice uses our software to help them create plans that they sell to their patients, and the patients pay a monthly or yearly fee to get access to those plans, and they get access to benefits and discounts, right? Like free cleanings and – well, when I say free, it's under the membership fee, right? Yeah. And then they get discounts and other benefits for being a loyal member of the practice. It's much like Amazon Prime or a Costco membership, but specifically for a practice. And our software helps administer all the tasks of administering one of those programs.
So say like I signed up for so I can get a better picture of it. Like if totally. I were to like I'm a dentist, right? And I'm like I want to sign up for Boom Cloud. I can create my own memberships in Boom Cloud, or Boom Cloud provides me with a specific, like, hey, this is a membership plan you're going to follow, and this is the tiers, and this is the rewards.
Both. We've got templates that practices can choose from, but if you know a practice is extremely motivated, they can, you know, set up their plans and everything from scratch using our software as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we help guide and everything there as well.
So you can design your own membership plans.
Yep.
Or you can follow yours. And so this is kind of like, like you said, like a membership plan. Wow, that's pretty interesting. It's different.
Yeah. So think of it like, it's basically like insurance, even though it's not technically insurance. It's basically like insurance, but the practice controls their profit margins. They obviously have to understand how to market it and grow it, which is extremely important. But yeah, we've seen practices, you know, within 6 months generate, you know, a little over 1,000 patients signed up to the program. So
say for example, okay, so they sign up and then they're working with Boom Cloud. What happens with like the say I'm a new dentist and then I sign up with Boom Cloud, but then I'm also in network with, you know, so many insurances because I'm just the type of guy who's like, okay, we're in a booming community, and then at the same time, I want to be available to everybody. So I was in network with
everybody.
Do I have to get out of network with them, or?
No. So what Boom Cloud, what we are all about is helping the uninsured, which in the United States, over half the United States is uninsured with dental insurance, right? So there's actually more people without dental insurance in the United States than people with dental insurance. So, it's specifically for the uninsured, but a lot of practices we're seeing out there are using it as like a stepping stone to reduce dependence on dental insurance as their program grows and kind of drop out with some of those PPOs. But yeah, we have a lot, we call them the hybrid practices, where they, you know, are signed with some PPOs and then they are building their membership program on the other end of things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow, man. So that's pretty good. I'm a dentist and then I signed up to Boom Cloud, but I'm in a network with everybody. So I can slowly build up Boom Cloud, but then kind of like slowly start dropping the other insurances, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're in that plan and a lot of the time is like the insurance, consultants, the specialists, they say, don't drop all the plans at once, right?
Yeah.
And setting up a membership program and utilizing, you know, a resource like Boom Cloud or others out there, you know, you're able to have a strategic plan in place before you pull the trigger, you know, on all the PPOs. You at least have some type of platform or structure you can build your patient base on.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of like, you're kind of fighting the insurances, right?
I hate dental insurance. I don't. I mean, there's obviously some good plans out there, and you can make it work in dentistry. But I just don't like the concept of insurance, and here's why. Again, I'm really picky about business models. I'm just realizing that on this call. I don't like it when somebody tells me if I owned any type of business and somebody said, "Hey, Jordan, I got some connections here. I have your exact customers that want to purchase your product or your service, but in order for me to give them, you know, mm-hmm. give you access to them, you got to cut your prices by 45%. I don't like when somebody tells me what my profit margin should be. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't like dental insurance. And I think it's kind of backwards as well on the both business end and then the just taking care of patient end, the patient end. A lot of the times dental insurance, it creates a mindset of poor quality dentistry. And I saw that in the dental lab with working with practices that were on a lot of PPOs. And I still see it today. You know, I just think insurance, it definitely has its pros and cons. In my opinion, it just has a little bit more cons than pros.
Yeah.
Because of the business model and that it forces practices to take, which is heavy discounting that they don't control. So a lot of the times when a practice does a procedure and it's with a certain, you know, PPO, they most likely will lose money or break even, you know, or very low profit margin. Mm-hmm. So I just don't like that. I think if dentists had more control over their profit margins, they could be better dentists. They can offer better quality work, and the patients are going to be happier. So that's my philosophy.
Hmm. Okay. And then, so how can you market Boom Club?
So just a membership program, yeah. So there's a ton of ways you can market a membership program for your practice. Obviously, there's the online side of things like social media, and we're actually that's actually our topic this month on our content calendar that we create, you know, each month, and we talk about things. So we're getting ready to write an article about how to grow through social media, so through social ads mm-hmm. and things like that. So that's a great way to grow is targeting, you know, your local market on Facebook and other social media platforms. I've also seen a ton of people have great success with direct mail marketing as simple and analog as that sounds. We had a practice that we just did a case study with that within 6 months they were able to sign up 1,000 patients to their membership program utilizing direct mail marketing and having that message targeted speaking about.
Do you know what the message said or not?
I believe it said basically no insurance, no worries, you know, or no insurance, we can help type message, and it was really targeted towards their membership program. In my opinion, when you do marketing, you don't want to do like generic or general.
Yeah.
Marketing. You want to target, and you want to have the messaging targeted. So, direct mail, you know, social media, you know, talking to your existing patients. I visited a couple practices that have been really successful, and one thing I've noticed how they've been able to grow it is they spoke to every single patient about their membership program, even if they were insured, because you never know if that patient has a brother or sister or mom or dad or whoever it is, or a friend that doesn't have dental insurance and is looking for a practice that helps patients with that are uninsured. Right. Yeah. So, by talking to every single patient and having kind of a grassroots movement, you know, those are a few things that can help grow a membership program. And then a good friend of mine, Dr. Christopher Phelps, I don't know if he's been on your show.
No, I need to get him on.
Come on, man. I love Dr. Phelps. Basically, he did presentations to like the HOAs for the 55 and up communities in his area.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke, you know, and educated. And that's another great way, you know, to generate new membership signups for the practice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, whenever you're speaking at the senior citizens' home, and it's pretty easy to get in. You know, you just talk to the activities coordinator, let them know you want to do something for the seniors, and then from that point on, you kind of
have just reaching out. Yeah, reaching out, making a phone call, sending an email, and then making sure you have a good presentation and that's educational and helpful to the audience, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of the times, you know, in the 55 and up communities, they lose their dental benefits, right? Which is backwards, in my opinion, because as a person gets older, they have more issues with their teeth, yeah, right? Because yeah. they're wearing out. But yet our society kicks them out and they lose their dental benefits. So mm-hmm. That's another demographic of people that desperately need some type of program like this, that works really well with that target audience.
Yeah, man. This is awesome. I'm gonna be honest with you, Jordan. I never really looked into BoomCloud. Like I heard about it.
Yeah. It's a weird
I
name.
Where I heard about it. Yeah, I was like, BoomCloud. Where did I hear about
this? What is that name? It's so weird.
Anyways, no. I think I heard Gary talking about it too. So.
Yeah, Gary refers a lot to us. Yeah, Gary yes. Tackett refers a lot to us, and he's been amazing support to our company. So I love that man.
Yeah, I remember hearing, but I never knew so much about it. But now I do, and it's kind of like everybody, I mean, you see it all over Facebook, right? And you see it in a lot of other locations, but people always have headaches with insurance. And it's not...
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's not like a thing where it's like, oh, I'm just going to get over with it, right? You can't. You can't really yeah. just let it go or get over with it or anything like that.
Nope. Unless you're 100% fee-for-service, then you're, you know, the lucky ones, But
like the people who are 100% fee for service are sometimes
they still concerned. They still have to deal with out of network. Yep.
They're more concerned because like how does it sound like for example if I'm like let's just say you're the dentist and I'm a patient right and
yeah.
I work for Starbucks or Google or whatever right and I'm like oh yeah I'm paying my insurance right they're taking a chunk out of my check and then I go to you and you're like oh I don't. I mean, you're not going to tell me I don't take your insurance like straight up, but you're
definitely not,
say,
right?
Yeah, you're going to tell me in a way like, oh, yeah, you're still going to have to pay out of pocket and all these things, right? In my mind, I'm like, man, I'm paying for insurance. I'm not about to just like, you know what I mean? What's the point of it? What's the point of the insurance that I'm paying for? So I'm going to go to a dentist that obviously can do more or pays more or somehow gets rid of whatever, right? Even though that's legal, but they're still tend to do that, but whatever. I mean, it just depends. So this is interesting. We'll get back to that. But I know we kind of discussed a little bit about what's your area of expertise. But what is it? Would you say it's insurance or would you say it's more like creating membership plans or creating software? Like what is your area of expertise?
So my area of expertise, yeah. So I'm a generalist in business. I can do lots of different skills from marketing to sales to product development. So I do a lot, and I think you're forced to do that when you're an entrepreneur, right? You're forced to kind of have your hands in every department or skill set in a business. But I would say my strongest skill set is revenue management. I like finances, and then I love marketing. So those are my two things that I really enjoy doing, marketing and like business development, you know, making relationships with people. I love those things, but as in the industry, I mean, we know a lot about insurance 'cause we need to, you know, but that's definitely not my expertise. I am the non-insurance side, of the practice. So I like to see ourselves as people who, improve a business model for a practice. So mm-hmm. that hopefully answers your question.
Yeah.
I know definitely. That we went over the board there, but I love changing a practice's business model from them thinking, oh, I'm stuck with these insurance companies to I can generate revenue another way. And it's going to be a predictable stream of revenue, right? Versus the feast and famine model that I briefly mentioned, in the intro. You know, when a practice can generate recurring revenue and build a patient loyalty system, that's what really excites me.
Yeah, and I like the loyalty system. Like the I remember, dude. I remember, I think it was almost 6 years ago when I was an office manager, or like receptionist transitioning to an office. You know, like when the office manager quits, and then you're like, "What am I doing now? I'm a receptionist."
Yeah, I got to do that now.
That's what I was right there at that moment. But I remember. When we had to, I was creating like a membership
type of deal, like a loyalty program.
Okay,
it was
cool.
Kind of like, but it wasn't about insurances. It was more like, hey, you know what? If you refer 10 people or like one person, you get 200 points, right? 200 points gets you like a $5 gift card to Starbucks. And then, like, and then, you know, if you get up to 20,000 points, you'll get a trip to Las Vegas or whatever, right? But everything was like
very
through
cool
points. And I thought, I was like, oh my God, that was so much to create and so much to handle. So how do you do that with BoomCloud? Like, how do you keep all that in track?
Yeah, like with all the details of a membership program?
Yeah.
So the software is really simple and organized for practice. Basically, we have a dashboard that tracks all revenue, meaning membership fee revenue, not like treatment revenue. So it tracks all membership fee revenue, whether it's yearly or monthly for the practice. And the dashboard shows, you know, how much is predicted on a monthly standpoint, a yearly standpoint. Tells them how many active members they have in the program, how many people signed up in the current month, whether it was online or just through the office. Mm-hmm. It'll show those reports there. So we got some reporting in our dashboard and everything that helps the practice kind of know the metrics of their program, because it is a marketing tool for a practice. Mm-hmm. And you need to know, you know, your ROI and you got to know how many, you know, patients you're signing up and things like that. So we track a lot of metrics there. And then we have a members management piece of the software that manages all the members. It automates all their payments, whether they're monthly or yearly. They can sign a patient up through ACH or through credit card. And ACH is basically like bank withdrawal. So it allows them to do that. We have a benefit tracking system that tracks benefits that the patient has received. We also have a like contract management piece of the software where when a patient signs up to the for the membership program through our software, it allows them to digitally sign for an agreement, and it uploads that agreement into the patient's account in BoomCloud. So that's tracked, and then. Yeah, we track every single membership payment that goes through, so the practice can easily see those and see each patient's payment history and things like that. So that's kind of the bare bones. Yeah, it does everything for the practice in regards to just managing a membership program. Hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, you're right. This is like another.
And again, it's really like basic bare bones what it does. Mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that too. You're right. This is like another. Marketing tool in the sense like
it so is
to bring new patients in. I mean,
yeah,
the thing is like you guys teach that, right? Like if say for example I were to sign up to BoomCloud, you would teach us how to market it, right?
We give you some marketing tools, we give you like videos to put on your website, we give you brochures and things like that to help you talk about the program. But yeah, it really is, it's a patient attraction tool, a case acceptance tool. It can help practices increase case acceptance. You know, utilizing those discounts, you can easily educate a patient, you know, when they're on the membership program that they're getting a better deal. And let's face it, discounts drive sales.
Yeah.
Right. No, I don't care who you are, what industry you are in, discount, some form of discount. If a patient or a customer feels like they're getting a good deal, they're going to end up buying the service or product you're offering, right? Mm-hmm. So case acceptance tool, and then a patient retention tool is what we like to think of it, because when a patient has some skin in the game, meaning they're paying a membership fee monthly or yearly, they're going to be a little bit more committed, right?
Yeah.
And that example is, you know, think about Amazon Prime. I'm assuming, Michael, that you're part of Amazon Prime. Are you a member at all? No,
no, yeah. I'm a part of Amazon Audible, but not Prime.
Okay, no, so you have an Audible membership,
man.
Right?
I need to be on Prime. I don't know why. Jeez,
Michael, you're too good though. So Audible is a membership program too,
yeah,
right?
Do
you member of that? You pay monthly for that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I'm an Audible member as well. So every time I get that credit, I end up buying a book, getting a book with it, right?
Yeah.
And Amazon gets, because Amazon owns Audible, right? Mm-hmm. Amazon gets their recurring monthly payment from their customers there. But then a funny thing happens, they'll give discounts on new credits, right? Or more credits, or you just get a better deal for being a member and you end up buying more books throughout the month. At least I do, right?
Yeah.
So that's a great example of what a membership program does, is it keeps you loyal to that business, and it motivates you to buy more, right?
Yeah.
Another example is I just signed up. I don't know if they have these in your area. They probably do. I just signed up for a monthly car wash membership.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do. I want to get into that too.
It's the best thing ever. I sign up. I pay like $20 a month. And I can get unlimited car washes, right? Something I've never really done before. I've always gone to the car wash sporadically, right?
Yeah, me too.
Now this car wash has a predictable revenue stream for me,
yeah.
Right? And then I noticed the other day, a few months ago actually, I've never like professionally cleaned my car. I've always been the one who goes in my car and just cleans it out, right?
Yeah.
But because I'm a member of this particular car wash, they gave me a discount on professional detailing. So I ended up purchasing a detailing package, and which I've never done before. But since I'm a member, I felt like I number one, I was going to the car wash every week getting my car cleaned. So I was passing that business, and it was always on my mind every Monday, right? You go and wash the car, right, on the way to the office. Yeah. And eventually I've bought more from them because I'm a member, I am committed, I am loyal, because yeah. I am invested on a monthly basis. So that's the power of the membership program and kind of the psychology behind it. You know, in dentistry, it has the same effect.
I think they're even doing something. I was talking with Dr. Tyler Brady, who was on an episode like a couple of days ago, and okay. There's even something like that for haircuts now, man. Like, like a yearly or monthly membership or something, and then you can get as many haircuts as you want throughout the. I was like, I think that's the future. Like, everything's kind of going that way.
So we're different. They call this the subscription economy, right?
Yeah.
And it started with Netflix, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, it's Netflix changing the model in that industry from just one-off rentals to paying monthly and getting access to a database, right? We're in the subscription economy. It's definitely here to stay, and it's growing in every single industry. And you know, I think if a practice doesn't realize that, because dentists out there, office managers out there, look at the monthly bills you're paying. Just on a personal note, you'll notice that we're in the subscription industry, and there's a lot of benefit to that business model. Mm-hmm. Meaning recurring revenue, patient loyalty, increased sales, and obviously the other end of that is making sure you're taking care of your patients. Just because they're on a membership program doesn't mean they pay their monthly or yearly bill, and you don't nurture those people. It definitely is a different model on that aspect of things too. But yeah, it's this subscription economy, and I think it's a wonderful time to be in business because of this business model.
Yeah, definitely. So what can a dentist, besides BoomCloud, right? What can a dentist do today to improve their marketing or business?
I think just being more conscious about it and aware that it's a very important strategy in any business, especially in dentistry, where dentists tend to think that they don't need to market, but every practice deals with patient attrition. So if you build up to X amount of patients, and then you just get comfortable, it's eventually in a few years that your practice will be smaller and less profitable without marketing. So you always have to have some form of lead gen systems, in my opinion, in a business to make it so it's always so the buckets are always staying full, right? Just think of marketing as a bucket. You're filling the bucket full of water. That bucket has some holes. If you're a really bad office, it probably has some really big holes in it, and the water will exit out faster, right? So, which is attrition, right? So, making sure that you're conscious about having a marketing strategy in place and understanding if that strategy is working for your practice or not. You know, I think a lot of practice will hire a marketing agency and then just they just kind of put their head in the sand or just say, I don't have to worry about it now. It's under their hands. But as a practice owner, you got to understand that owning a business, that's like marketing it and making sure that you're getting new patients and retaining those patients is so essential. So that just be conscious of marketing and ask yourself, is it working? And if it's not, change, you know, switch up a channel or a marketing message. Marketing is an experiment, but make sure, you know, as a dentist or an office manager, that you understand what's working, what's not working.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. So these next questions are just to get into the head of someone who isn't totally involved in dentistry. And what I mean by that is, like, you're not a dentist in the clinical side. So what would you like to see more from a dentist?
From a dentist, like on the clinical side, you said?
Ooh, both clinical and business. Like, say you're going to go to a local dentist who you really don't know. What would you like to see more of? Or what have you been seeing that you're like, I want to see more of this?
Oh, I think patient education on the clinical side is so important. And I remember I've been in the industry it's been almost 15 years now. We people in the industry just talk the talk, right? Talk the lingo, right? And a lot of patients have no clue what we're saying in the industry. I think there needs to be more patient education focused in the practices, because most patients have no idea what a practice is talking about on certain procedures and things like that. I think that needs to increase like a lot. Right. And I mean, education is the best form of marketing as well, right? So if a practice can better educate a patient on the clinical side of things, they're gonna be more successful. So that's kind of what I like to see on the clinical, and I guess that falls into both clinical and business.
Yeah.
You know, but I also think on the business and practices, I'm a big fan of recurring revenue. You know, which what membership programs help with, and I think practices need to understand that if they can generate recurring revenue on the business side of things, the valuation of their practice will increase, because predictable recurring revenue increases, you know, the value of a practice, because it's less risky, right? And then just on the cash flow side of things too, if you can generate a good membership base that are paying monthly or yearly fees, you're going to have, you know, a predictable monthly cash flow stream to help you manage your business. And I say that because I think that's extremely important, because when I managed the dental lab, we did not have that model, and it made it extremely hard to budget, extremely hard to hire and find talent, because our budget was changing every month because of the feast and famine model, which dental practices fall under that model in the industry. And I think if a practice can generate, you know, a consistent, predictable amount of recurring cash flow, they'll run better. They'll be able to have a better budget. They'll be able to take, you know, better care of their staff and their patients. So that's on the business side. That's my mindset.
So really quick, on a side note, like, let's just say I sign up to BoomCloud or something like that. How hard is it for me to opt out? Like, say I'm a patient, but I'm moving to... I'm moving, or... You know what I mean? Something.
We get this question all the time here. So typically the traditional membership program is not like a month to month deal. It's a yearly contract. So practices will have a contract that the patient signs, stating that it's a year contract or 2 year, whatever the practice. Okay. So that's way to get around it. If practices are even worried, like, well, they can sign a contract, but that doesn't mean they're going to pay. Well, that's where you use our software to automate the payments. I recommend using an ACH type payment, because they're a little bit harder to set up than like just signing a credit card. But over the long run, they're going to be less maintenance, less cancellations, less declines, because it's pulling directly from the patient's bank account, and people. It's harder for people to cancel a bank account than a credit card, right?
Gotcha.
So that's what I would say. If those are some concerns of practices out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, back to the questions, huh? What do you, right now, what do you hate about dentistry?
What do I hate about dentistry? I don't like dental insurance and what it does to the industry. Mm-hmm. I don't like how many practices have very inefficient systems in their business, from the clinical side all the way to the business side. And that's getting a little bit better, like with the digital impressions and things like that. I love that aspect of the change, but I guess in the early days, or when I started in dentistry, it was all impression material, and I hate that. I hate impression material because it changes. Yeah. It changes on a lab point of view, right? It changes, or if a practice takes a horrible impression, you can't really make a quality product, and that always bothered me in the industry. But
does iTero help though? For example, I'm getting my Invisalign done or something like that, and then
yeah.
They use the iTero machine.
Yeah, I think digital impressions are amazing. Before I left the lab, we invested into all the digital technology about a year or 2 years before I left. So I was able to get into that and educate a lot of the industry. I actually spoke for Sirona quite a few times. They would fly me out. I believe in that technology. I think it solves a huge problem, which is, really impressions on the clinical side. I think impressions are horrible. A lot of the times they're done incorrectly, or they take it and it sits for, a certain amount of time and it changes slightly, and then the end product is just messed up. So digital impressions, yeah, I think that's really cool. Of what's happening. And I was just in the lab last week checking out some of the new stuff they're getting. I think they just invested into some 3D printers and stuff. It's really cool. They have like the CEREC machines and the big milling machines that mill the pucks and everything. Mm-hmm. I just think that that's a cool thing, because I just hate the traditional impressions on the clinical side. And then on the business side, I just hate what insurance does to our industry, and what it does to the practice mindset and what it does to the patient mindset, because it does alter both mindsets.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you love about dentistry?
I love the people. I've never met so many cool people in this industry. That's honestly one of my favorite things to do in this, in my role here at BoomCloud, and just even if I weren't here in BoomCloud, is I love meeting the people in dentistry. Very, very awesome group of people so far, that I've met. And I think that's a good thing. It's a really good industry in regards to the people.
The people are really cool.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what needs to change for you to be more open to dentistry? So I guess what I mean by that is
becoming a dentist? You want me to become a dentist?
Yes. No, I'm just kidding. Open to being a dentist. I want you to put yourself in the mindset of someone who doesn't know anything about dentistry, right? And so you know how people, if you were to ask somebody, the general population, if you were to ask them.
Yeah, that are not in dentistry.
Yeah, and they would normally say I hate the drill, right, or the sound of whatever.
Oh, I can't stand the sound of the drill.
Yeah, so they say things like that, right? But in your mind, you're okay, can you give me something more detailed, or what are you talking about? So what to you, what do you think needs to be changed for you or someone you know, like a really good friend, family, or anything like that, to be more open to dentistry? People who feel like, who you feel like, man, they need to go to, you haven't been to the dentist in 5 years, what? Right? What should change in order for them to be more open to it?
Yeah, I think, well, this is what I'll say. I think practices just need to understand. I think you need to ask those questions to the patients, because I'm obviously somebody in the industry. But I think if a practice is really wanting to find out, like, why is this segment of patients not coming in for 5 years, I think there needs to be more market research on the practice side of things. Mm-hmm. So meaning. Do some open-ended surveys to a group of patients. Get into their mind and understand, you know, what their thoughts are, what their questions are, what their concerns are. I think there needs to be just more market research. I think that's an extremely important task in any industry, especially in dentistry, because dentists and office managers and just all of us in dentistry just assume what the patient wants.
Yeah.
Right, or what they need, because we're a dentist, and what we prescribe, you know, is important, which obviously that's true. But I think practices need to understand the value of market research and understanding, you know, how to get that data from patients and how to use it in practice.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I remember I would always, like, weekly, and I don't know why people, I mean, I feel like we should always be surveying, like, our existing patient base, right? Especially the patients that you love, like, the ones you're like, man, I love this patient. Like, I would always, like, survey, hey, like, where do you go for lunch? Even stuff like that, right? Like, I would want to know exactly what magazines they read, what websites they're on, all this stuff. That way I know exactly how to tailor, like, any marketing material, but I know exactly how to talk to them too.
Where exactly. You can speak their language. Oh, these are the, you know, 5 out of 10 people or whatever the percentage is. You know, these are the concerns, you know, with dealing with practices. So let's address those, or let's figure out how to educate them on, you know, those concerns. Mm-hmm. And you use market research. So I think just market, the skill of market research is it needs to be improved in dentistry. Cause I think, I mean, it has served me well. And I know a lot of my team members here, do a lot of market research, even with our, you know, existing customers, and it continues to serve us. And I think that could do well, you know, more in a practice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what type of marketing stands out to you as a consumer? So not just looking at the dental side, like looking at any business side, like what kind of marketing stands out to you? Not like SEO
That's a great question.
Yeah. More like on the content or expression side.
So if I'm going to buy something and you, what thing gets my attention? Is that what you're asking?
Like what kind of marketing?
Content marketing. Whether I make a small decision or a big decision on buying a product or service, I'm going to do two things: read about it and get educated on it. So whether it's articles or videos or testimonials, those are the things that really get my attention. And then if somebody obviously refers me, those are the two things that just grab my attention when I'm trying to buy something. Or I don't look at billboards. I don't look at if I see sometimes social, like Facebook ads, like if I'm scrolling down in my feed and it's something that educates me. Those are things that kind of help me to buy things. From just a consumer standpoint, like I don't, if I hear a radio ad, I just kind of, you know, turn it off. I mean, I don't even listen to the radio.
I'm like, now on Spotify instead.
I'm on Spotify, yeah. But there's still a huge segment, you know, of the population that, you know, listen to radio.
Yeah.
So I just think content, education. If I'm getting educated and it's interesting to me, I'm going to end up buying whatever service it is. Right. Or if I have some sort of pain point, and I get educated on how to relieve that pain point, I'm going to buy it. Right. Which a lot of patients fall under that. Right. You know, their teeth hurt, you know, so if, you can educate more, that's kind of what works for me.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Do
so
we leave
content.
anything out or?
No, man. I think, dude, this has been a fun episode.
Alrighty. So tell us where we can find you, Jordan.
Yeah, so if you guys are interested in Boom Cloud and want to learn more about our software, you can do a live demo and just go to boomcloudapps.com. That's spelled boomcloudapps.com. I also have a free ebook that we give everybody that educates on the concept of a membership program and kind of my philosophies and things that I think that make the model successful. And you can get that at boomcloudapps.com/book. And then we also have tons of webinars. I've done a couple webinars with Gary Takis. I've done some with Dr. Christopher Phelps, who I mentioned earlier in the podcast. And we've got a lineup of other webinars we're doing. But we've got a ton of resources on our site, so go check it out. And if you personally have questions and want to reach out to me, you can email me at jordan@boomcloudapps.com. And my name is spelled JORDON. So,
make
sure. Yeah, it's kind of weird. But if you spell it wrong, JORDAN, it'll still come to me. I've set it up, so it does. So, email me, ask me any questions. But yeah, feel free to go schedule a free live demo of our software, see if it's a fit, and download my ebook and let's chat.
Yeah, man, and all that will be in the show notes below as well.
Cool.
So
right on.
You can like click onto it and link it. Sign us out by singing, Jordan. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm good.
I just put you on the spot like that.
Nice one. I was waiting for that.
Does anybody ever ask you that? Like, hey, man, sing something for me or no?
All the time. Yeah, but I don't do it. I only do it in the studio.
So when you put music in the studio, does it go into a CD or what happens? Or you just practice and that's it?
We'll practice, and then I've been playing guitar since I was 11 years old. So, so we practice, you know, a little bit, and then we never even practice together. I'll write a song, and then I'll call my brother and I'll just send him a video message with the concept, and then he adds his parts, and then we text our buddy who's our drummer, and he'll add his parts. And then my wife also sings with me and plays guitar and stuff. And obviously she don't have to text her. She can watch the video.
We
just text each other. And then we set up a date in the studio and then go in and then just make it happen. Right?
Dude, yeah. I used to play drums. I was a huge drummer cool. too.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. No, I love music. I think it's definitely my stress reliever. If I can't go to the studio, you know, at least once a month, then it's a stressful month.
It's stressful. Dang, once a month? Dude, you don't really stress out that much then.
I don't, man. I believe in maintaining your passions and your hobbies, right? A lot of mm-hmm. people, when they go into business or if they're like a CEO, or a practice owner, they just get too focused on their business. So I believe in making sure that hobbies are, they stay relevant in my lifestyle. So that's just me though.
Man, you're right. I just came back from traveling a bit and I haven't been surfing in like 2 weeks, man. And I used to go all the time.
You're in California?
I'm sorry?
Where are you at? Where are you at? Are you in Florida?
Yeah. No, California? Southern California. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm always in Southern California. Let's
no we should meet.
Yeah, I've always wanted to surf. We have the Flow Rider here, the indoor surf stuff.
Oh wow, okay.
And I'll do that once a month as well. All these things I do once a month. They need a membership program so I can go more. I love outdoor stuff as well, like surfing and then just any other outdoor stuff here in Utah, but. Next time I go down there, you should take me and you should teach me how to surf.
Yeah. Like, it's funny because like sometimes I go with friends from Texas who come down here, but they always tell me like, dude, you just leave me. Like, cause I'm like, wait, stay here. I'll go catch some waves really quick. And then it's like a couple hours later and I'm like, oh, I forgot you're here. But, definitely we gotta do it. And you're right. Because so many times I feel like we kind of go into the business and then we try and say, oh, what our passion is, that's what has to be our business. But I heard recently I think it was, I don't know where. I think I was in the book Crushing It by Gary
Okay,
Vee.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What he kind of states, like, he believes that your passion shouldn't be your hobby really shouldn't be your work. It should be like aligned with it, because eventually yeah. you're, no matter what, you're going to end up like, oh, you know what I mean? Like with your passion or yep. whatever, but you have to make, like you said, you have to make time for that passion still. Or
yeah. Your, and your I, hobby. And I definitely have like passion points in like my business, but mm-hmm. I, you know, here at Boom Cloud, but I think, yeah, I have other hobbies and interests that I just want to just maintain and keep alive. Cause I mean, you always hear like the old CEO that was CEO or owner of a business for years. And he's like, oh, I wish I would have done that more, than just solely focus on my business. So I think it's important to just, if you have something that you enjoy doing other than, you know, dentistry or entrepreneurship or whatever, make sure that you can spend the time and money on it, you know, because mm-hmm. I think it's important. So yeah.
All right, man. All right. Sounds yeah, good. So I appreciate your time and thank you so much for tuning in with us, the audience. Like I said, if you guys want to find out everything about Boom Cloud, it's going to be in the show notes below. And then Jordan also is going to give us his free ebook and a free year of Boom Cloud. No, I'm kidding. One day.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. I don't know. But alrighty, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, dude, appreciate it.
All right, guys, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. I really, really liked it. Jordan's a really cool guy. Guys, go hit him up. Let him know, like, hey, man, I want to hear you sing. Sing us something. Let's hear your demo. or you know, reach out to him about Boom Cloud as well, of course. All the links and everything will be in the show notes below for Boom Cloud. Guys, I really, really think, especially if you're a fee-for-service practice, Boom Cloud is something you can really get into. For example, if you are a ground marketer, right, and you're out there at senior homes, you're out there setting up booths at locations and things like that, right? Very, very important to have something like this, like Boom Cloud. You can say, like, look, guys, this is just for you. This is just exclusive for you guys. This is something you can introduce to the community. Like, look, for those of you who don't have insurance, that's okay. I got your back. And then, yeah, you introduce Boom Cloud to them. And this doesn't have to just be in senior citizen homes. If you're ground marketing, right? So a lot of our students who are in the ground marketing coaching program, they're all over. They're doing apartments. They're doing businesses, Starbucks. They're doing gyms. They're senior homes, Costco's, right? Lunch and learns, doing employees, schools, districts. They're everywhere, guys. They're everywhere. And they can easily present this to everybody, right? Saying like, look, oh, you have no insurance? No, no worries. I got you. So something to think about, guys, with Boom Cloud. And trust me when I say this is not the last time you're going to see the Dental Marketer and Boom Cloud combine forces, okay? So look out for that. But let me tell you guys a little bit of the my takeaways, if that's okay, okay? So one thing I thought was interesting is that he hates traditional impression material as a dental lab tech, right? And patients hate the dental impression material as well. Think about that for a second. So the reason Jordan said he hates it is because, like, you know, the impression, it changes, right? Maybe they may leave it out for a while and then it can change a little bit, or somebody might mess with it, it changes, and it's just a headache, right? And the patient, and the patients hate it because of the taste, the way it makes them feel, it makes them gag and things like that. So it kind of makes you think, like, I think it's time to let that go. Let the dental impression material, the traditional impression material, go. Maybe it's time to start investing into like an iTero or something different. Because you got to be someone who can cater to everybody. And this is where technology kind of runs into the game. Technology's out there already, right? So they're doing so many things, so many amazing things. So you can ignore this traditional impression material that not only your patients hate, or the majority of your patients hate, but the majority of the dental lab techs hate too as well. Something I thought was very interesting. Another thing, good takeaway, was what he loves about dentistry, which is the dentist. So that makes me think, like, okay, market you guys, like, so you listening, the dentist who's listening, you need to market you, yourself, your personality, your vision for the practice, your style, your likes, your dislikes, your opinions. Market that, right? If you market it properly, you'll attract like-minded individuals, like-minded patients. And then you'll start noticing, like, hey, I really like this patient. Then market to that specific patient, right? Now, this ties in perfectly with what I said before, how the impression material and things like that, right? So let's just say you decided to get, like, a new machine, right? Like an iTero, right? And the way you want to market it is like, hey, look, no more having to deal with, you know, this type of icky impression material or whatever, traditional impression material. Now you can get this new technology. No, you don't want to market it like that. Market it in the sense like, hey, look, I noticed the patients really don't enjoy this. And you know what? Our quality work can be better for you guys. And that's what we want. We want better quality work, better product. I mean, we want to produce better results for you guys. And we want to make the community happy. Somewhere, a location where they love to go, where they don't have to feel like, oh, that material, oh, it tastes nasty, oh, I hate doing that. No, hate doesn't exist in our practice. That word, we don't want that word here. So because of that, we decided to get an iTero where it's less invasive. You don't have to worry about taste or anything like that. It's just this really quick, and then boom, you show a video of how you're doing it, and that's it, right? You see how you were marketing yourself, like your personality, saying like, this is what we do, this is why. And then at the same time, you're kind of showing them like, this is what we got because of that. We got the iTero machine or whatever machine you decide to get. So yeah, I like that part. And I like the part how at the end we talk about passions and hobbies, how it's important to know the difference. They can be aligned, but it's important to know the difference. It's important to have a getaway, right? Because if your hobby and your passion becomes your job, which is great, but eventually we all already know you're going to have another passion and hobby. You need a getaway. You need something to just de-stress yourself. And I can contest to that because right now I am stressing out with making all this content and everything. But it's a good stress. It's more like a stress where I'm like, man, I really like it. And guys, I have so many projects. I mean, so many stuff ready for you that's coming out. I'm just so excited. So let me know also if you're listening to this and you're like, man, Mike, excited to see that ground marketing course. Shoot me a message. I might have something for you guys, for you early birds, just for you. So shoot me a message if you got this far into the episode too. As always, guys, thank you so much. Be sure to go check out Jordan's stuff in the show notes below as well. Leave a 5-star review, please, in iTunes. Also, as always, guys, please go check out my Instagram under The Dental Marketer. And yeah, with that being said, I'll talk to you soon.